Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
We've told you before that business isn't boring because it does affect our lives. And for anyone who's gone out and bought beef in the last few days, how much did you pay? Take a look at that, because not only is it about the payment, but it's also about the safety. If there's anything we're well aware of is that in South Africa, there's currently an outbreak of foot and mouth disease, but several institutions have come forward to make sure that they intensify their battle and their efforts to make sure that foot and mouth disease cases are reduced in South Africa, and more specifically within the province of Gauteng in partnership with KwaZulu-Natal. To help us understand how the Gauteng government in particular is leading the charge following a visit that they took to Karan Beef Feed Lots in Heidelberg just yesterday, we're joined now by the Gauteng MEC for Agriculture, Vuyiswa Ramokopa, to help us unpack this further. MEC, such a delight to touch base with you again.
Good evening, Kuku, and good evening to all of your listeners. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's exciting to speak to you because in the last few days, not only did we speak to Karan when the news first came out about the impact of foot and mouth disease at their feedlot, but we've also spoken to a few other entrepreneurs who themselves have highlighted how they've been impacted by this disease, and largely many of them had bemoaned the lack of government intervention. But just yesterday, we saw how Gauteng is actually leading the charge in this front. Share with us an update as to, number one, the provincial government's involvement and role in actively participating to reduce foot and mouth disease within the province.
Thanks, Gugu. And I just want to start by saying, you know, the team from the Gauteng Veterinary Services has been absolutely really exemplary and has performed as best as they can under the circumstances. One of the biggest challenges that we've had is actually a lack of vaccines. At the time when the outbreak occurred, there were no vaccines in the country. So it made it very difficult to obviously deploy human resources out into the various farms, because you ultimately what people need is a vaccine, not a hug, you know. So I think where we are now is that we have the vaccines. Gauteng Veterinary Services is all hands on deck, and have even been able to coordinate with other provinces to get in some additional resources to drive a very vigorous vaccination campaign across different farms and feedlots all across the province. And I think it's important to mention, Google, that, you know, besides Karan Beef being located in Gauteng and being one of the biggest beef producers in the country, but Gauteng is a natural epicenter for livestock and for agricultural produce, because a lot of livestock will be transported into our province, sold in our province, and processed in Gauteng. So although it may not all come from here, but we actually get a lot of the, let me say, you know, we feel the consequences of what's happening in other provinces. Like you mentioned, KZN has really been where the outbreak has been most prevalent. But because of the transfer and movement of livestock, we obviously have to really step it up and lead with a coordinated response to make sure that it does not spread any further.
Let's talk about this coordinated effort and additional resources that are being brought on board. Can you share more insight as to what this entails and which parties are bringing what essentially to the table?
Sure. So one of the first steps that was taken was the formation of a joint operational committee, which is actually led by Gauteng COGTA, Department of Cooperative Governance, and obviously in partnership with ourselves. But it's important that COGTA led the process, because a lot of the farming activity is happening in peri-urban and rural areas, and it's important that traditional authorities and rural communities are actually brought in and centered in the activities and in the response. So COGTA played a critical role in that coordinating committee, joint operational committee, and it's a joint committee including both government and the private sector, led by the red meat industry organization, SAPS, because there's also a community safety and bylaw enforcement element around this, and various other organizations as well as ourselves, and the municipalities, mind you, that play a role in this. And it's important because, you know, like I'm saying, there's elements around enforcement of bylaws, but there's also elements around just, you know, how communal farming and farming in traditional areas is done. And it's important that when we implement biosecurity measures, that can actually roll out across the board. So that was a key coordination effort. I mean, in terms of bringing in additional resources, when the outbreak first hit, as I said, there were not sufficient vaccines in the country, but we were able to actually effectively borrow vaccines from outside of the province. I think they came from Limpopo, and we got some doses of vaccines from there, which we still have to pay them back, I think, at some point. But they were gracious enough to give over whatever stock they had. We've also been able to get in additional. We've put in a request to get additional animal health technicians from the Northwest Province to assist with the vaccination efforts and the rolling out of the vaccines on different farms. And I think what's been really good to see, and why myself and Minister Steenhuisen conducted a joint visit to Karan, was, you know, to demonstrate that this cannot really be the purview of one government entity or one government department. It requires a coordinated effort, because when we have to export our meat as a country, you know, other countries don't care whether that meat comes from Free State or Limpopo or Gauteng.
Yep.
It's all from South Africa, and we are all painted with the same brush. So at this point, it's really just all hands on deck from different parties.
Definitely. What I'm also keen to understand, as you've mentioned, this has been a beautiful, you know, a multi-governmental partnership and, of course, ongoing engagement right across the spectrum with the private sector also involved. If we take a look at where we are in terms of the stats right now, what do the numbers reveal in terms of the infected animals that cases that we have and the trajectory? I know you don't have a glass ball, but maybe what we've witnessed in the last week or two, if we have been able to abate the spread.
Yeah, well, what I will say is that I think we are over the worst. We've actually gotten through the worst period because, like I'm saying, we now have access to the vaccines and we've started that process. And once that process starts, then, you know, you're able to curb at least the infection rate and deal with the problem at hand. But what actually has also happened in the period after waiting for the vaccines is that a lot of animals, some would have already gotten FMD and actually cleared it out of their systems. So there is a level of, you know, like how you and I will catch a cold.
Yes.
And if you don't medicate, at some point it'll go, you know. Mm-hmm. And after you get your flu, you don't actually necessarily even need to take a flu vaccine. You've already taken, you've already had the flu of the season. So it kind of works in a similar way. And so where there have been instances of infection and that infection has been able to be contained, such as on your bigger commercial farm, you actually have a situation where the animals are no longer infectious. So, you know, all in all, I say you're not looking at more than 100,000 animals at risk of infection at this point in time. And we really are working to bring this number down and bring it under control. And we can foresee within the next 4 to 6 weeks, at least this particular burst of FMD being behind us. But I want to say another just last point. You know, this is not the first FMD outbreak that's ever happened. I mean, we had, according to Karan, interestingly enough, I think they mentioned that we've had almost 300 such outbreaks in the last, you know, in the last since 2018, 2019. So it's not that it's not FMD itself, it's not an existential issue, but it is something that we have to find a long-term solution to how we eradicate FMD in South Africa, so as to be able to give comfort to our export partners that, you know, this is no longer an issue for us. And really, it'll put South African beef on the map globally, where it needs to be, where it deserves to be. If you ask me, we have the best beef. You know, this issue of these periodic outbreaks has hampered the industry in a way that, you know, it really should be, it shouldn't be an issue.
Yes, definitely.
Given the technology that we have available to us.
Got you. To close off with MEC, I understand this might not be within your realm or area of interest, but certainly might come up in conversations with various stakeholders, particularly us as consumers and purchasers of beef, the good quality beef that you'd refer to. Many South Africans have raised concern around potential shortages of supply, but also cost of the supply.
Yeah.
I understand the market is not something you influence, but is there a level of engagement, not only with the players in the industry, but even regulators and the Competition Commission, just to ensure that there is no opportunistic pricing that takes place? And that's putting it politely.
Yeah, that is putting it politely. Look, I mean, fortunately, the market, especially whether it's, you know, vegetables being sold at the fresh produce market or agricultural products, are really, the price is really determined by the market forces at the time. For example, when animals are taken to an auction, I mean, an auction is about as kind of market forces as it can get, because, you know, you don't know going in what the price will be, and it'll be determined by the, you know, the day and the forces on the day. So I think from a perspective of pricing, we must be aware of course, what's happening around us. The last few months, in fact, you would have noted South Africa, for example, had closed its had closed our own borders to the import of chicken.
Yes, that's true.
So we had chicken shortages. And naturally, when you have shortage of one form of protein, people might find themselves switching to another form of protein, such as beef, which may drive those prices up because it's more in demand. So it's also important to look more holistically at the sector and say, what's happening in the sector? What are the kind of broader driving forces? From a perspective of this particular outbreak, it's not unfathomable that there might be some price fluctuations here and there. Mm-hmm. But like I'm saying, you know, if we can get this under control, there shouldn't really be major shortages of beef supply, and therefore the prices shouldn't necessarily respond adversely.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. MEC Ramakgopa, such a pleasure speaking to you as always. Appreciate your efforts and your time to keep us updated on what is meant to provide a sense of calm and more so information to us as the larger public of South Africa. Thank you again for
your time. Thank you. Thank you, Google. And sorry, one last thing. I really want to say it, you know, people mustn't, like you said, about staying calm. Mm. If the meat is all safe, once it's on your shelf, it's safe.
Yes.
Because we have very stringent health and safety standards in all of our retail establishments, mostly. And, you know, I think people must be take comfort that even a vaccinated animal or an animal that even had FMD is safe for human consumption because it cannot be transmitted to humans. So eat freely, enjoy your chisanyama this weekend,
yes,
and don't stress.
Fantastic. So whether we're having a beef stew or chisanyama, we definitely can indulge and fully enjoy the quality South African meat that we have, understanding that the necessary interventions have been put in place. Again, our gratitude to Gauteng MEC for Agriculture, MEC Vuyiswa Ramakgopa, joining us to help us unpack a lot more about the cohesive efforts from multiple stakeholder groups to address the outbreak of foot and mouth disease in South Africa.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.